lost and what happened to them. Now, look at with me, if you will, in Revelations for just a moment. Go all the way to Revelations. And I want you to look with me at chapter number 6 of the book of Revelations. Now, we have, at this point, the rapture has taken place. We're in the tribulation period. And we're going to look at somebody in the tribulation period. And in chapter number 6 and verse number 9, and he said, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the what? Souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, it does not say anything about a physical body, does it? Their souls are under the altar of God. And it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, now I want you to notice, are they able to communicate or not able to communicate? We've got a living soul. They've got just as much life now as they had prior to their slaying. And he said, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So here we have an account of those who have been slain during tribulation. Their souls are at the altar of God, and they're communicating with the Father. And I like it when it says white robes are given to them. The perfect righteousness of God they're wrapped in. Now, we've looked through all these as we've studied these lessons. At those who are saved and where your soul goes when you're saved. Now, let's look at a couple more things. And how about if you're lost? What then? Where does your soul go then? What takes place then if you know not Christ? Now, go back with me to Luke again, and we're going to look at these verses that we have worn out. But I saw something when I was studying this past week in these verses I'd never seen before. And it's one word in this verse that I've never seen before. And it's amazing how the Lord does that. Read it 100 times, and then you read it again, and there's something there that you never have seen before. And that's what keeps you coming back and looking for those little nuggets in His precious Word. In chapter number 16, you know, this is where the beggar was lying out beside the rich man's gate, desiring to cry from his table, and the dogs licked his sores. And it says, and he passed away, and what happened to him? The angels escorted him over to Abraham's bosom. But I want you to look at the 22nd verse, and let's look at a distinction here for just a moment. And it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was what? And was buried. So what happened to his physical body? He died, his body's buried, dirt thrown in his face. But now look at the next verse. Where is he at? So now what's in hell? They buried his body. So what is it that's got to be in hell? The soul's got to be in hell. Now, watch the conversation for just a moment. And he says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So he can see, being in torment, he can feel. And seeth Abraham. He knows who Abraham is. He'd been told about Abraham. He saw Abraham. We've got a world today that has heard about Christ. They know the name of Christ, but they've not acknowledged him for who he is. And they're just going on in their sins and enjoying life with no concern about Christ. But he got concerned now. He said he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now I want you to notice, where's that beggar now? In the bosom. When I pass away, my soul's going to be in the presence of God the Father. And he said, he cried and said, Father Abraham. Now, notice he acknowledges him as who? Father Abraham. Look at the conversation that picks up. Have mercy on me. He knew what mercy was. And he says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Sounds to me like hell's a pretty real place. Yeah. Now, I want you to notice something in this next verse. But Abraham said, now here we've got a conversation going on between the rich man and Abraham. But Abraham said, and what's the next word? Remember. He's got all his faculties. And Abraham says, we need for you to remember how it was when you was on this earth, when you had opportunity and you didn't take advantage of the opportunity. It's amazing how many people have heard the plan of salvation in this world today and paid it no mind. But one of these days, if they don't come to the knowledge of the truth of the saving grace of God, they will remember. They will not remember just, he says, remember in thy what? Lifetime. Remember in thy lifetime. You remember how your life was here on this earth. And one of these days, every person that leaves this earth by the means of death and knows not Christ, they will be reminded of every opportunity they had to hear and react to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, remember, thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil thing. But now he is what? Comforted, and thou art tormented. So now, it sounds to me like that where we are lost or where we are saved at the point of death, soul separates from the body. Now, Brother Get Billy gave me a verse the other day, and I remember what he said. He said, this kind of answers it, don't it? I want you to go back. We read Ecclesiastes the other day. I want you to go back over Old Testament scripture. Let's see if we pick up in Ecclesiastes. I want to look at this for two reasons. Anyway, 12th chapter and verse number 7. If you go find Psalms and start backing up, you'll come to Proverbs. You'll finally come to Ecclesiastes. I want you to listen to this verse now. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Here's your physical body. It's going to return to dust as it was. But now look at the next statement. And their spirit shall return somewhere. To what? To God. Who did what? Who gave it? So you're not your own, are you? God owns us all. Now, if you'll notice, we're going to return to dust, and it does not differentiate between the lost and saved here. It says every man's spirit. Let that sink in for just a moment. God owns each and every one of us. And he's going to deal with us according to our position with his son, Jesus Christ. And that's going to determine when we die, whether you go up and make a loop back down, or where you just keep traveling straight on up the road. I'm glad my road goes straight on up. Amen. I don't want it to go up by God and turn and go down like the rich man that we've just talked about. But your soul and my soul and everybody that's ever been conceived, God owns them. And God will determine where they spend eternity according to their relationship with his son. Now, I want to read you a verse over in Matthew 10. Something else I've never seen before. It's amazing how you read over things time after time after time and don't see it. But in Matthew chapter number 10, I want you to pay attention to this verse. Chapter number 10. Would you look at verse number 22, I think. I don't know where I'm at. Yeah. 28, that's what it is. I want you to pay attention to the word. I'm gonna have to start paying attention to the verses I write down. I've got 4,100 verses. You can't keep up with them. He says, "And fear not them which kill the what? Body." The next word is what? But what? but are not able to kill the soul. Okay? What does that tell us? You might kill this living body, but you can't kill my soul. It's eternal. Now, look at the other but in this verse. But rather, fear him which is able to kill the body, or the soul and the body in hell. Is that what that said? It does not say kill, does it? It says do what? Destroy. Destroy. Any of us in our physical body could come to a point that our body is totally destroyed. We have no ability to do anything whatsoever with our bodies and still have a good mind and know everything that's going on, but cannot react to it. Cannot help ourselves in our situation, not one iota. And see, that's exactly what we saw a while ago when we looked at the rich man in hell. What could he do? He could do everything. He could see, he could feel, he could hear, he could speak, he could remember. He could do all those things. But he has absolutely no ability to help himself in that situation. And he's locked in that situation for how long? For eternity. And I thought about that when he said, I can destroy your body and your soul in hell, not kill you. Not kill you, but put you in a position that you wish you were dead and had no feelings and had no memory. Because you can remember all those things that took place in your life. And in the darkness and the pain and the suffering of hell, time after time will be brought to the mind, I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity. The Spirit worked, and I didn't listen. So we looked at the soul. We've talked about the body. But now how about the body? So let's talk about the body for just a moment. Go with me back to you and John. Just flip over to John. Now let's look at it. We're going to go, you know, we've got to go to Corinthians and study in this. So we're going to be in John. We're going to be in the fifth chapter of the book of John. I'm going to remind you again of some things that takes place at our death. In the fifth chapter, in that 28th verse, Christ says, marvel not at this. The hour cometh. There is a time coming in the which, now, the next word is what? All. Now, I want you to pay attention to that little word, all, because that's important in these verses that we're looking at. All. What does all mean? It means all. It means everybody, okay? So this means the lost or the saved. Everybody's going to do what? Okay, let's look and see what they're going to do. In which all that are in the graves shall do what? hear his voice, and shall come forth. So the only thing that's going to bring them out of the grave is going to be the voice of God. And everybody, somewhere in the process of time, is going to hear that voice. And they're going to come out of the grave. Now notice, his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now, when we look at this particular verse, if we stop here, we think this happened at the same time. Not so. He's just expressing that all are going to rise sometime from the grave. That's all he's saying here. So now let's go to Corinthians, the first chapter of First Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and see if we can clarify this a little bit more. Now, in chapter number 15 and of 1 Corinthians, in verse number 20, here we are talking about the body again. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that did what? Slept. So you're going to find it talks about sleep and it talks about dead. He calls them dead sometimes, calls them asleep sometime. But it says Christ is what? Christ is the first fruit. Now, if we were to go back and look at Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 6th verse of the morning of the resurrection, when they came to the tomb and looking for Christ, and there's a statement made here. He says, he's not here. He is risen like he said. So he's the first fruit of the resurrection. Now look at verse number 21 back in Corinthians. For since by man came death by man, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And we know that man being Christ. Verse number 22. For as in Adam, all die. Now notice the tense. It don't say all dead. All die. It's coming. I don't believe there's any, I don't think I see anybody in here this morning that's dead. So that means what? All are going to die. That means yours is in the future. We got lots in the past, but there's also some in the future. And in Adam, because of Adam's sin, all are going to die somewhere down the line in the process of God's timetable, okay? But mine, even so in Christ, or by Christ shall what? All, here we go, that little all. You look how many times that little word's used. All be made alive. So here we are, like we saw over in John, all of them's gonna be made alive. He says, verse number 23, and verse number 23 starts with what? A but. But what? But every man, every person, every individual, how? In his own order. In whose own order? It's not my order we're talking about. It's not your order that we're talking about. It's God's own order. It's Christ's own order. He's the one that's To put it plain in everyday language, he's the one that's running the show. He's the first fruit, and then somebody comes after him. So let's see if we can determine what takes place here. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, and afterward they that are Christ at what? At his coming. Here's the order. Christ the first fruit. Then we have what we call the rapture at his coming. That's another phrase, a phase of it that we're looking at. So let's go over to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. And let's see what's going to happen when this particular time takes place in the order of God. So we look at 1 Thessalonians, we look at the 4th chapter, and we look at the 13th verse, if I can get it out. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Here we have the word again. That you sorrow even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and arose, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now I want you to notice something as we look at this together. He's talking about those that sleep. He said, don't be ignorant about it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that he's talking about all of us who believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the price that was paid for your and my sins, that we might be a part of what we're talking about here, a part of a resurrection. Christ the first fruits, and then them who trust in Christ. Now, notice what it says. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God, next word, bring with him. Wait a minute. Where is Christ right now? He's on the right hand of the Father. Now, if he's going to bring somebody with him when he comes back to earth, where have they got to be? They got to be with him, so that means they got to be where? They got to be in heaven. So, all his children who've passed away, their souls are in the presence of God. And when the rapture takes place, he's going to bring them back and they're going to be united with a new body that's going to rise out of the grave. Watch it. He said they're going to bring them with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead. See? This time he calls them dead. The dead what? In Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive. Well, wouldn't that be nice if he'd do that right now? Boop. Yes, sir. It would be. It would be great if today would be the day. After I got through praising my Lord and praising my Christ for saving me by his marvelous grace and all that he's done for me. And then I walk over there and say, Francis, how about showing me around? That's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Then we which are alive will not prevent. Remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet who? To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And boy, notice the next verse. Wherefore, do what? Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Now, go back with me again to 1 Corinthians. And let's look for just a moment at verse number 24. First Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end. Mind you, he said in his own order a while ago, remember? Christ the first fruit, then us who know Christ, and then all the rest that know not Christ. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things upon under him, it is manifest that he accepted which he put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that hath put all things under him, that God be all in all. Then cometh the end. Go with me to Revelations again. Go with me to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. You know, when the rapture of the church takes place, my gosh, I sure wish that clock stopped just a minute. When the rapture of the church takes place, and we are raptured out of here, and we have a new body, likened to his body, we're going to have a body that can withstand all that it must withstand to be likened to Christ and not come all to pieces. Now you think about it when, on resurrection morning, when he appeared to Mary, said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." And just we read on a little bit more, just a little bit later, when he saw a multitude and they beheld him and touched him. Do you realize he's already made a trip to God the Father in heaven and come back, zip, zip. And it takes us forever to get a satellite to Mars. I don't think this human body as it is now could stand that, do you? He said he walked through a wall to the disciples. I don't believe I want to try that. I said, we'd about to have a body like his. So our new body has got to be adapted so we can enjoy all the blessings that God's going to give us. Well, guess what? The lost man's body has got to be changed so that it can endure eternity in hell and not burn up. I got 2 minutes. You watch this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, chapter number 19. No, that's not where I want to go. I want to go in chapter number 20. And I saw the great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead stand. You ever seen a dead man stand? Dead man's got to have life in him to stand. So this death that we see here only relates to the fact that he's lost. He's resurrected in his own order. He said he stands. And he stands before who? God. And the books are opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead was in it. So it makes no difference what's happened to a body. At this time, it's going to rise from wherever it's at, and it's going to be in the presence of God. And it's going to be judged according to their works, and we need more time. But notice, whosoever, in the 15th verse, I've got to close, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was what? Cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, at Transfiguration, when Christ in all his glory was seen, who was with him? Who else did they see? Who else did the apostles see? Saw Moses, didn't they? Saw Elijah, didn't they? Don't sound to me like getting lying somewhere in the grave asleep. You think on all those things. I don't know about you, but this is what I believe the Word of God says, that when I pass away, this old body's going to bow back to the dust, and my soul's going to go be with him. God bless you, and thank you for listening today.